CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham. Web references in the script can be found either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday, the 1st of October 2023. Here are the main news headlines. RSGB 2023 Convention, Radcom Basics Editor Retirement, RSGB Director Ben Lloyd, GW4BML's SOTA Challenge. We're counting down to the RSGB 2023 Convention, and the Society's putting the final touches to the programme. This year there'll be a special hour-long session with the RSGB board where the directors will present the four strategic priorities that the Society will be focusing on until the AGM for 2024. After that, convention attendees will have an opportunity to ask questions. This will be a positive and productive opportunity to discuss with the board how the Society and its members can meet the challenges facing amateur radio today. The session will be hosted by Don Beattie, G3BJ, who's the former IARU Region 1 President as well as the former President of the Radio Society of Great Britain. The session will be recorded, so if you're unable to attend the convention but would like to hear a particular topic discussed, please email that topic with your name and call sign to comms@rsgb.org.uk before Monday the 9th of October. The discussion will include as many topics as possible, but the RSGB can't guarantee every topic will be covered. Directors will also only answer specific questions from those who attend the session at the convention. To be part of this discussion and put your question to the board, book your passage or day ticket to the RSGB convention today. Go to rsgb.org/convention and choose Click Here to Book Online. Bookings close at midnight on the 8th of October. Radcom Basics editor Lee Aldridge, G4EJB, is retired. Over the past few years, Lee has been instrumental in making Radcom Basics a success. His passion for amateur radio and commitment to encouraging newcomers is infectious and has been very well received by the readers. The RSGB thanks Lee for his hard work as editor and is pleased to report that he will continue to write for Radcom Basics and provide regular technical and fault-finding articles. The new Radcom Basics editor is Tim Heer of G5TM, and the RSGB welcomes him to his role. Lee and Tim have worked together to produce the September edition of Radcom Basics. You can contact Tim with ideas or feedback for the future editions via radcombasics@rsgb.org.uk. RSGB members can access all issues of Radcom Basics by visiting rsgb.org/radcom-basics. RSGB Director Ben Lloyd, GW4BML, has taken on the challenge of activating 10 summits during 12 days on the remote Scottish islands. He'll climb some with his partner and fellow radio amateur Martha and their two-year-old daughter Lyra. This SOTA, or Summits on the Air challenge, combines Ben's favourite hobbies of amateur radio and hiking, but it also sometimes brings with it adverse weather conditions and the need to reach remote islands by kayak. Ben is hoping that by sharing his challenge, he'll not only inspire radio amateurs to try SOTA, but he will also encourage people who love walking and hiking to try amateur radio. You can catch up with his adventures on the RSGB social media channels and through the special playlist of videos on the RSGB YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/the RSGB and choose the playlist called RSGB Director Ben Lloyd, GW4BML, SOTA Challenge. The next Tonight at 8 live webinar is on Monday the 2nd of October when Lee Volant, G0MTN, will give a presentation aimed at newcomers to contesting. He will explore how contesting began, explain why it's rewarding and fun, and demonstrate how anyone can take part in their first contests with equipment they have today. Watch on the RSGB YouTube channel to find out more on the RSGB website. The RSGB QSL Bureau reports that due to unforeseen circumstances, well-known volunteer Roy Taylor, M0RRV, is retiring from his post as voluntary sub-manager for the M1 to M7 groups. The Bureau thanks Roy for his invaluable service to others and is now seeking a replacement volunteer. Expressions of interest should be emailed to qsl@rsgb.org.uk. Members are requested not to send collection envelopes to this group until further notice. IARU Region 1 will hold its next general conference from the 1st to the 4th of November in Zlatibor in Serbia. A wide range of papers and proposals are now available online, and the RSGB welcomes comments on these. Topics include general reports, organisation and budget proposals, the new HF band plan, VHF, UHF and SHF changes, and consideration of WRC 23, the World Radio Communication Conference, which shortly follows. Other themes include strategic projects and progress, accommodating digital technologies, contests, EMC and other spectrum matters. Comments should be forwarded to the relevant HF-VHF or microwave spectrum manager by Thursday the 12th of October to allow time to finalise the RSGB position. You can find a link to the consultations on the RSGB under IARU Consult. Details of rallies and event. The 48th Welsh Radio Rallies takes place on the 1st of October. The venue is Llanwern High School, Hartridge Farm Road, Newport, South Wales NP182YE. Doors will be open from 8 a.m. for traders and from 10 a.m. for the public. Entry is £3. Free parking, bring and buy, and refreshments will be available. For more information, email welshradiorally@gw6gw.co.uk. Hornsey Amateur Radio Club Rally takes place on the 15th of October, that's a Sunday. The venue will be Driffield Showground, YO259DW. For more information, contact Les 20LBJ on 01377 252 393, or email lbpinkney, figure 1, at hotmail.co.uk. Dartmoor Autumn Radio Rally takes place on Sunday the 15th of October. Venue will be Yelverton War Memorial Hall, Meavey Lane, Yelverton in Devon, PL26AL. They'll be bringing by trade stands, free parking and refreshments. The door will be open at 10 a.m, admission £2.50. More information from Roger 07854088882, or email 20rph@gmail.com. Special event station, the British Railways Amateur Radio Society, is using the club call sign GX4LMR, is marking 185 years since the opening of Preston Railway Station in 1838. Mark G1PIE will be operating during the whole month of October. Activity will be centred on the 40-metre band using SSB, QSL via the Bureau. TX News, Bob W7YAQ and Owl K7AR are active as VK9LAA from Lord Howe Island, OC004, until the 4th of October. They're running two stations, 160 to 6 metre bands, QSL via Club Logs OQRS, Logbook of the World, or via W7YAQ. Sajid, VA3QY, is active as A22EW from his homeland of Botswana until the 8th of October. He is operating 20 to 10 metre bands. He may operate the 6 metre band QSL via EQSL. Brian, GW4DVB, is active as J88PI until the 10th of October from Palm Island, which is NA025 in the Caribbean. Brian is operating 40, 20, 17, 15, 10 and 6 metre bands using SSB, SSTV and FT8, QSL home call. Contest news. UK and Ireland contest Club DX SSB contest started at 1200 UTC on Saturday the 30th of September and ends at 1200 UTC today, Sunday the 1st of October. Using SSB on the 80 to 10 metre bands, the exchange of signal report and serial number, stations from the UK send their district code. This event replaces the original RSGB DX contest. It's listed on the RSGB contest calendar, and for entrants from the UK and Crown dependencies, it counts towards the HF Championship. This international DX SSB contest also has a teams section. Team members with a maximum of three can be, three members that is, not age, can be from different DXCCs and can enter different sections. Rules in English and eight other languages can be found under DX Contest menu at ukeicc.com. The Worktall Britain DX Contest started at 1200 UTC on Saturday the 30th of September, ends 1200 UTC today, Sunday the 1st. Using SSB on the 80 to 10 metre bands, the exchange of signal report, serial number and Worktall Britain Square. On Monday the 2nd of October, the Autumn Series CW contest runs 1900 to 2030 UTC. CW on the 80-metre band, the exchange of signal report and serial number. Tuesday the 3rd, the 144 megs FM activity contest runs 1800 to 1855 UTC. Using FM on the 2-metre band, the exchange of signal report, serial number and locator. Also Tuesday, the 3rd of October, the IRTS 80-metre evening counties contest runs from 1900 to 2000 UTC using CW and SSB. On the 80-metre band, the exchange's signal report and serial number, EI and GI stations also send their county code. On Wednesday the 4th of October, the 144 megs FT8 activity 4-hour contest runs from 1700 to 2100 UTC. Using FT8 on the 2-metre band, the exchange's signal report and 4-character locator. Also Wednesday, the 144 megs at FT8 activity 2-hour contest runs from 1900 to 2100 UTC. Using FT8 on the 2-metre band, the exchange's report and 4-character locator. Stations entering the 4-hour contest can also enter the 2-hour contest. On Wednesday the 4th of October, the UK and Ireland Contest Club 80-metre contest runs from 2000 to 2100 UTC. SSB on the 80-metre band, the exchange is your 6-character locator. And the Oceania DX SSB contest starts at 0600 UTC on Saturday the 7th of October, ends at 0600 UTC on Saturday on Sunday the 8th of October. Using SSB on the 160 to 10 metre band where contests are permitted, the exchange's signal report and serial number. Both the IARU and RSGB 432 megs to 245 gigs contest starts at 1400 UTC on Saturday the 7th of October, ends at 1400 on Sunday the 8th of October, using all modes on 432 megs to 245 gigs frequency. The exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. Saturday the 7th of October, the 2.3 gigs trophy contest runs from 1400 to 2200 UTC. Using all modes on the 2.3 gigs frequency, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. And also Saturday the 7th of October, the 1.2 gigs trophy contest runs from 1400 to 2200 UTC using all modes on the 1.2 gigs frequency, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. Now for the radio propagation report. Another week of disrupted solar and geomagnetic conditions saw the KP index go up and MUFs come down, they write. A period of minor G1 geomagnetic storming was observed on Tuesday the 26th thanks to an enhanced solar wind stream containing a long-duration southward-facing BZ component. If the solar winds BZ magnetic field points south, it more easily couples with the Earth's magnetic field, allowing solar plasma to flood in. The net result was a KP index of 5.67 and visible aurora seen from the UK once again. It's worth reminding people that at this point in the solar cycle, conditions are being governed more by the KP index than by the solar flux index. A high KP index generally results in lower MUFs and poor HF conditions. During the week, the solar flux index was around 175, declining to 156 on Thursday the 28th. The number of solar flares also decreased as the week progressed. Next week, NOAA predicts that the solar flux index will remain in the range of 145 to 155, perhaps hitting 160 on the 7th. NOAA also predicts quiet but geomagnetic conditions with a maximum KP index of 2. As we said last week, at this point the solar cycle flares and the coronal mass ejections are very prevalent and hard to predict, so don't be surprised if the KP index goes up again. Otherwise, if it remains low, make the most of the good HF conditions that generally follow. Finally, as it's now October, we can expect another step up in HF conditions as we enter autumn, so keep an eye on the 10-metre band, which should be opening to the US and Canada in the afternoon. There are plenty of 10-metre beacons to listen to from 28.160 to 28.330 megahertz, as well as FM repeaters clustered around 29.6 megahertz. Now, the VHF and up propagation last week saw trans-equatorial openings of 50 MHz, with V51 Namibia reported all over the UK as far north as Scotland, around 1900 UTC. On the Tropo front last week was fairly unsettled, with a visit from Agnes, our first named storm of the season, which affected the north and west. The coming week is looking much more suitable for VHF radio, with high pressure building over the country from Tuesday, bringing a good chance of tropo as we go through the week. This may not be fully developed for the 144 megs UK activity contest on Tuesday the 3rd, but possibly starting to help lift conditions in the south and at least. The high pressure will become more widespread over the next week, but by the following weekend of the 7th and 8th of October, the 1.3 gigs trophy may have to deal with more disturbed conditions in western areas. However, conditions will still probably be good for eastern areas across the North Sea to southern Scandinavia. The meteor scatter prospects are improving as we move towards the October Draconids, which peak on the night of the 8th and 9th. Auroras have also featured recently, so should remain in our checklist. Incidentally, although we are technically outside the main sporadic E season, Duob's ionosonde data plotted on the PropQuest site have shown occasional blips in the critical frequency of the sporadic E layer, for example to 7.5 megs around 1650 UTC on Wednesday the 27th of September. This would certainly be enough for 10 metres and perhaps even 6 metres chance openings. If in doubt, call CQ. Is the takeaway message here. Moon declination goes positive on Friday the 29th of September and reaches its peak on the following Thursday. This means increasing moon elevation and lengthening moon windows until then. The downside being that the path losses are increasing all week ahead of apogee on the 10th of October. 144 meg sky noise starts off low, increasing to 500 Kelvin next Thursday before dropping again this weekend for the weekend. And that's all from the propagation team this week. That's all from me. Until next week.